Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Monday, and it's great to be with you. Just got back from a great weekend in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, with the ecclesia there. It was a great time. They are an ideal ecclesia. They're doing a great work out there, displaying love to others, unconditional love, and heralding the evangel of grace. They are a model, and other ecclesias should imitate them. So it was great to be there, very encouraging. And I just want to say thank you to all those beloved saints out there. It was great to be with you this past weekend. Well, I'm continuing now this week the series on the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Today we're going to be talking especially about Colossians 2:9, where we have the phrase in the King James that says, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In the Concordant Version it says that in him the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily. So we're going to be looking at this phrase. Now let me just stress this at the beginning. In this study of the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, it is important, it is vital to have a concordant vocabulary. It's vital to have a concordant vocabulary to get this teaching right. Versions have translated essential words so inconsistently that the truth has been hidden from us. And the concordant method helps clarify the truth. It shows us the right words, and it also shows us the source of confusion, because we compare the Greek with the English translations, and we can see that the English translations have been very inconsistent in their translating. Now, the King James uses the term Godhead and divine to translate one single word. And it's, I'll spell it in the English equivalent, or this Greek word is T-H-E-I-O-S. And it translates that word Godhead and divine. So try to get a definition to understand the nature of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, using conflicting terminology like that. Webster's Dictionary from 1828, probably the closest one to the original King James in 1611, unless you have an old, really old Oxford edition, says that the word Godhead means the state of being God, but that's really no help. So try to get definitions from such confusion in translation, and also confusion in vocabulary. The terms that are being used here are more theological than they are really scriptural or a result of good translating. Now, there are three words I want to look at, and I'm going to spell them in English. The first word is an adjective, and it's spelled T-H-E-I-O-S. It's used three times in the New Testament. It's used two times in the New Testament. Acts 17:29, where the King James translates it Godhead, and then in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, where the King James translates it divine. The second word is T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S, and in Romans 1, 20, the King James Version translates it Godhead. And then the third word is T-H-E-O-T-E-S, in the King James, it's in Colossians 2, 9, translates it Godhead. So the King James takes three words here that have different nuances and translates them in three times. Each one of those words are represented by Godhead. So Godhead does duty for all three of these words. We're going to get into this in a second. Let me just say this, that English has better equivalents for these three words than the theological words that the King James uses. Godhead, there are better words in English. There are three distinct English words that can be used to translate these three distinct Greek words. The first one, T-H-E-I-O-S, the adjective, the Concordant Version translates divine. The second word, T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S, the Concordant Version translates it divinity. And in the third one, in Colossians 2:9, T-H-E-O-T-E-S, the Concordant Version translates it deity. Now let's look at each one of these words. The first adjective, divine. The Concordant Version translates that word divine. And it comes from Acts chapter 17, verse 29, where Paul was dealing with those in Athens, those who were worshiping all these idols. And when Paul went to them, the King James talks about that they were looking, that the Godhead isn't like idols. But Paul wasn't talking to the Athenians about a Godhead. Paul never used the word Godhead to these Athenians. The Athenians had never heard of a Godhead. And by the way, Paul never heard of a Godhead. Paul had no idea what a Godhead was. Paul was saying to these Athenians that those idols that they had, that they were worshiping, weren't God-like. They weren't divine. That first word, T-H-E-I-O-S, is not Godhead. Divine is the better word. Then the second word, T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S, is the word that that the Concordant Version translates divinity. In Romans 1:20, that's the best way to translate it. We don't read about the eternal power in Godhead in Romans 1:20 as the King James reads it. Let me just read it to you from the Concordant Version. In the Concordant Version, we read this: "For his invisible attributes are described from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements, besides his imperceptible power and divinity." When we look at creation, we see something awesome, something beyond human ability. Creation tells us of a divinity, not a Godhead. And then finally, in Colossians 2, verse 9, we see this third word, T-H-E-S. E-O-T-E-S, and there it's translated deity in Colossians 2:9, not Godhead as the King James has it. And this is our text today, Colossians 2:9. It's the only occurrence of this Greek word, the only occurrence, and that's why it's important to get it right. And again, we're going to turn to Colossians 2:9, and we're going to look at this. The term deity isn't applied to Christ in this verse, but to the deity whose complement Christ is. Let me read the verse, Colossians 2, verse 9. "For in him," speaking of Christ, "the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily." And let me repeat what I said. The term deity isn't applied to Christ, but to the deity whose complement Christ is. Remember, God wants to reveal himself, so he needs a complement to do that. He needs an image, a word, a mediator, and Christ fulfills all these functions. He is the complement of the deity. Christ isn't the complement of himself. His job is to reveal another. The term deity here in Colossians 2 is contrasted with Christ. Let's read Colossians 2. And if theological teaching was correct, if modern Christendom is correct, let's read Colossians 2:9 the way they teach it. They talk about the Godhead, you know. So let's read Colossians 2:9 using theological terms or theological interpretation. Colossians 2:9, this is how it would read: "For in the deity dwells all the fullness of the deity." You see how crazy that is? How we really mess things up? God has a purpose. God wants to reveal himself, and Christ represents the deity in that revelation. Christ shows us the Father, but remember, he is distinct from the deity. Christ has a God, and Christ has a Father, and guess what? We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. And to sum up, we have these three Greek words. We have, again, the word T-H-E-I-O-S that's used in Acts 17:29 and 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. The Concordant Version translates it by the word divine. And yes, Christ is divine. Christ is godlike. He's more godlike than anyone else. And then we have the second word, T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S. The Concordant Version translates it divinity, Romans 1:20. There was a divinity in all of Christ's actions, more than anyone else. But the term the deity, T-H-E-O-T-E-S, in Colossians 2:9, is used by God to express the relationship between him and his Christ. In him, that is, in Christ, the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily. Now, that's all we're going to have time for today. I know, a little complicated subject, but get a pen and a piece of paper out, write these words down, and do the study, and go back and listen to this audio, and follow along in these verses, and see, and compare the Concordant Version with the King James in these to show you the difference. Well, we want to get it right. We want to get this teaching right, because this is very important. God delights to reveal himself, and when we understand properly the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, we will appreciate God more, and we will appreciate Christ even more, because we'll recognize that it is through the faith of Jesus Christ that we are justified. Great news. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this: the closer you draw near to God as he's revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.